Welcome back to your Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Ryan here with Jeremy as always.
Yo, yo.
If you like that track, the artist was Escalation of Force. There's a two-song sampler out that you can check out on all streaming platforms called War Mentality. There's guys that have been in the scene in the band for quite a while, and we'll get into that in the interview. First and foremost, though, happy Memorial Day. Today we brought on not only a hardcore veteran, but an actual veteran to talk about their latest project, and we're going to get into all that. Before we do, as always, shop Blast Beats Vinyl. Use our promo code NOISE for 10% off your first order. Like I said, every week they're always dropping great stuff, new stuff coming in every week, so if you're a metal, black metal, death metal, any kind of metal you can think of, check them out at the very least. I know a lot of you have already, so we appreciate it, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for jumping on the show, man. We appreciate it. How you doing?
Good, yeah. Just hanging out, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
We only have two songs out, so I appreciate you actually giving us the time. So.
Yeah, but it's not like you've only ever done two songs. I mean, you have lengthy career in music, so to speak.
And I want to hear some more songs, or at least, you know, if there's going to be more songs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're writing now. So
awesome.
So the two songs got put out back in, it was like end of March, March 29th. Yeah. March 29th.
Yeah. Yep.
So did you guys just put that out as kind of like a taste and sampler of what's to come? You guys plan on doing like an EP or a full length?
Yeah, those two songs that I went and met up with Mike Moynihan. He has like a studio at his house, and wrote those two songs with him. And then I had all these lyrics written down, and then went and did the vocals there as well. And we had the fake drums to it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I think like a lot of bands do their demos with, and I actually didn't have a drummer for a while. So, actually like recruited pretty much everyone in the band, like one after another. But, yeah. So once we got a drummer, we're like, oh, he's like, yeah, I have this, my buddy has this electric kit that we have the samples for real drums on it, and we'll do that. And I'm like, oh, all right, like, let's see how it sounds. I wasn't too into it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody else was either. So we went and recorded the drums real, like I feel like every band should do. And it just seemed like everything we did just pushed it back further and further and further. So
you just couldn't. I think I went the first sound natural.
Yeah, like, and it's hard to do that with samples and stuff like that, and or programmed drums. It's like it may sound tight, but there's no like. I don't know. There's no grit to it. You know what I mean?
Right, right. I follow you.
Well, it's that, like, and yeah. Like, it's always, depending on the sample, like, it's always perfect. Like, your timing,
yeah,
and everything
that,
is
that's
absolutely.
That's what I was wondering, too. It's like, yeah, it'd be, like, so on.
Yeah, and we've talked to people before that, I've said the same thing. Like Jeremy just said, I was like, it's hard to get your stuff to sound natural or to sound like it's a real drummer that has like his own flair and kind of feel to it. And some people say it is. And like this in person in particular was like, no, it wasn't that hard. And their drums sound amazing. I was like, because I even online when the record came out, it was by a melodic death metal band. They're called Majesties. And when the record came out, somebody online was like, oh, the drums are programmed. The drums are programmed. I was like, no, dude, they have a drummer. Like, because they had gotten a drummer like for tour and stuff. But I didn't know at this point that the drums were programmed. So I'm on there like, no, it's not programmed. Like, they have this guy and everything's all, you know, this, that, and the other. And then when we talked to him on the interview and he's like, yeah, it's all programmed. I was like, fuck, I got to go tell that guy I was wrong now.
They did sound amazing.
But you programs. Couldn't even tell. Like, it was phenomenal. So,
yeah, like our drummer now is in a death metal band and he plays bass in that band. But he went over to his drummer's house and did the electric kit sample thing. And like, I don't know too much about it, but I just know that like what sound that I wanted for this band, you know what I mean? Wasn't necessarily the sound that like anybody in that genre is going for, you know what I mean?
Right. No,
like they want their shit super sound crisp, awesome. Clean, and you know what I mean?
Yep.
So
you want yours dirty and pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like when you think war mentality, like you don't think clean,
programmed.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's gritty, it's dirty. You're doing what you got to do to make it by. Like, it, and I think the drums should fit that. The music should fit that, and it does from the two songs that are there so far.
Hell yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pumped on it. I think the drums sound dope. So that's like I feel like what brought it all together. I was like, oh, thank God we did that.
Yeah. Yeah, because that could go either way. I mean, you could have people that, a lot of people I don't think will notice, because there's a percentage of people out there that just, they hear it, they don't really dissect it. They just kind of hear it, nod their head, and they're like, yeah, that was fucking tough, that was sweet. But like, me as a listener, I kind of like dig a little more into that. Like, what are you doing to set yourself apart from other people? Or like, if you're repeating the same shit that some other band's done already or whatever, like, I kind of try to dig a little more into it, but that's just me personally.
I think the two song demo for me, at least in this case, made it so it's like, well, I can't listen to any more songs. So the two that are there just got like burned into my head. You know what I mean? So that's all you got. So that kind of works. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope that's the way it's for everybody listening to it. That's ideal. Like I said, you know, I put it like recording the stuff and then like putting the vocals on it and everything. I was like real curious about like, what are people going to think about this? You know what I mean?
Oh, and definitely. Like
I've played guitar or bass and everything else I've ever done. So I'm always like, yeah, these riffs are sick. Like I'm into them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, and then like trying to do that and then do the vocals, it's just been like, huh, I wonder how this is going to translate like to someone else's ears, you know?
Translates pretty good to mine.
Yeah. And you never know too, because every person's brain interprets shit differently. Like,
no doubt.
I'm reading this book right now that's all about like the neuroscience side of music and how your brain interprets it and kind of differentiates from this guy's brain versus this guy's brain. And it's cool to read like how even just like simple melodies or waveforms for one person could be the catchiest thing ever. They love it. They never want to hear anything else. They just want that. And for another person, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah. Like I've heard this thing back, I don't know, a few years back about like Creed and Led Zeppelin and some other band. They recorded in some special like wavelength or some shit. I don't know anything about recording, but apparently this is like the perfect pitch or tone or.
Oh, it's like the frequency that resonates.
Frequency. Yeah. That's the word. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Like what, the 528 frequency, or is it supposed to like be the one that heals and calms you?
Yeah. I think that's
something like that.
I've read something like that before too.
Were they put it at that on purpose?
Yeah. I couldn't listen to Creed to Heal and Calm Me. Fuck, that would make me want to break the fucking CD in half.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd listen to it to calm down, but I definitely will listen to Creed.
Can you take me higher?
I can't do that, band. I just there's a lot of bands that, like that era, that they all sound like they got marbles in their mouth when they're singing, and it
comes after like the whole like where like you had
Pearl
Chris
Jam.
Cornell. Yeah, exactly. Those like the three or four big bands, and then it seemed like they tried to turn it into a rock band but keep the same kind of vocal style, and it didn't translate maybe the way they wanted to. But whatever it is, dude, I'll listen to fucking My Own Prison and just jam, dude. I don't take any of it too serious, you know what I'm saying? Right.
No, for sure. But yeah, Creed's not.
Shit, answers our end of episode question at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, I already know your end of episode question, but that's not the band I would have said.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, we'll save that for later. So,
I like openly like that band for sure.
We'll get to that. Who else do you have in the band with you, like just aside from yourself? This is your first vocal debut, so who else is playing guitar, drums, bass, everything?
Yeah, Matt Earp is playing guitar. He played in Smash Your Enemies with me for a few years when we started. And then before that, he played in a metalcore band called Red Eye Flight. And then we got Sean Williams as the other guitar player. He plays in We Will Rot, which is like to me, it's like the best metalcore band for sure in Michigan, I think. And then he used to play in, or still does play actually, in Bloodline Calligraphy. And then our bass player.
That band's still going, Bloodline?
Yeah, they're playing. I'm pretty sure they're playing with It Dies Today on a couple dates coming up.
Wait, Bloodline or Bloodline Calligraphy?
Bloodline Calligraphy.
Okay. Heard you drop the name, but I didn't know if you were talking to another band, Jeremy.
No, yeah, I was just like, I remember seeing those guys a few times, like a long time ago, and I've kind of been like in and out. Do they still have the chick singer?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that band in a long time.
No, when I first saw them, they didn't. They only had a male singer.
Oh, really? I only knew them with the... I don't remember her name by any means, but I just remember that girl.
Yeah, I think there was two girls, like, back-to-back, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
I could be wrong, dude. Anyway. Like I said, like...
Sorry, yeah. I got, like, off topic, but I just haven't heard that.
And then our bass player, Rory, he plays drums in this, like, death metal band, Red Lord. And then he plays in some like kind of indie. I forget the name of the band. It's not like burned into my brain, but, and then my brother Brandon, he did vocals in Smash Your Enemies. He's playing bass.
Okay.
That is the lineup.
And are you writing all the lyrics and everything? You said before we started, you kind of.
Yeah, I'm writing all the lyrics for sure. And then, those two songs were written like with me and Mike sitting there in a room. Together now the rest of the band's like writing, and it's pretty dope to be like in the same room and like bouncing ideas off of people that, like, as long as I play guitar in a band, like I feel like the two guitar players we have are both better than me, which I'm fucking pumped on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because then you get better.
Yeah,
it's like being around like smart people, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll throw my ideas in and be like, oh, I think this the order of the riff should go like this or that, you know what I mean? But like, and I know what I want to hear. That's kind of how I've always written the music. Not that I'm like a good guitar player, but I kind of know what I want to hear, and I just do that. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I don't know any like actual chords, or if I do, I don't know I'm playing them. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's so awesome.
Honestly, there's a lot of guitar players out there like that, but I don't really think that you have to be traditionally trained to be a good guitar player. Like, if you can make something that people like, that they can sing along to, that they can nod their head to, that they can punch people to, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Who's to say you're not a decent guitar player?
Kerry King, dude. That's it. That guy.
Yeah, Kerry King's a perfect example. Mediocre-ass guitar player.
He'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I got another friend, too, the same. I was like...
He's kind of like a one-trick pony guy. Like, his new project that he's doing is basically Slayer without Tom singing.
Yeah,
sounds the same.
I just listened to it for like 20 seconds and was
yeah. I think
good.
Two of the songs are off of were supposed to be on Repentless or whatever.
Oh really?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because when I heard it, I was like, well, what's he going to do that's different? Exactly. Like, I mean, the guy's
And then he kind of gets like the, I think they're on that Lamb of God tour coming up in August, but.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Isn't Mastodon's on there too, I think?
Yeah, I think it's, Lamb of God, Mastodon, Kerry King, and Malevolence, I think.
Okay.
That UK band.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen Mastodon and Lamb of God. They both put on awesome shows.
Yeah, love Lamb of God.
So the lyrical content you said was kind of about your deployment into Iraq.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's not like glorifying anything or whatever. It's just kind of how I feel mentally. You know what I mean? And that was like, it's one of those things. Like I was talking about, like how are people gonna receive this? Because I feel like. I feel like the hardcore scene can be a little finicky about, you know, lyrical content. You know what I mean? And I see that like that, you guys listen to that band Torture?
I've seen the name around, but I don't know.
I can honestly say I haven't listened to them.
Yeah. They're like this slam death metal kind of band, but their whole thing is like, they're at least the new albums, like anti-war and like all the, how many Afghan people died or people from Pakistan, like, you know what I mean? And then you got like our stuff where it's like written about the war but not from the same perspective, and I'm just like, people are eating that band up. And I'm like, oh fuck, I don't know if they're, it's gonna be like, oh, you shouldn't be like glorifying it or whatever, but you know what I mean? It's kind of a, you never know with people the way they're gonna
think
it.
I don't,
Today's a weird day and age. So
I'd like to say you're just thinking into it too much, but then it's like,
you never know, though, dude. Somebody could find that and even just look at the cover and be like, "Oh, you're glorifying a war mentality. Like you're an asshole. You're a piece of shit or whatever."
Yeah.
Like people
yeah.
come to their own conclusions way too quickly without reading between the lines.
Oh, yeah, I'll fucking agree to that
for sure. Like even the artwork, like the dude has like the M16 in one hand and a noose in the other. It's like the like how many service members come home and like kill themselves, you know what I mean? So it's not like it's like just trying to be like hard. It's like, no, this is like you got the gun in one moment and then you come home and you're fucking depressed and can't relate to anybody, and you know, it's easy to distance yourself. And how many people that I saw like while I was in that were pretty much like alcoholics, you know what I mean? You just dive deeper into that, and it just
I came up with a couple of guys that came back, and they didn't know what to do, so they checked out.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, yeah, so that's like kind of what that artwork is like in my mind.
It's like gun in one hand, noose in the other.
Yeah. So yeah.
Do you plan on keeping? I would assume for the rest of the record, like when you guys do make it, you plan on keeping kind of the same theme going to the.
Yeah, I believe so. I haven't written anything besides like experience wise or like feelings from that, or you know what I mean? Like I still go to therapy at the VA. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I can still write about it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm a fixed guy.
Nobody's a fixed guy. Everybody's got some degree of issues to a lesser extent or greater extent.
Was that kind of why you wanted to do this band? I mean, was that
Dude.
It's like almost in a therapeutic way?
Kind of, yeah. I was like, I didn't start writing this stuff until after I started the idea of the band. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But that was like in my mind. Like I always was like, you know, maybe I'll write like an EP and do. Play everything but the drums, have somebody else play the drums, and just like kind of get out what I want to hear, whether it be like a thrash song, a fucking hardcore song or whatever. But this ended up working out better, so it's pretty sick for me.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, in Tyrant, you guys had military songs as well that were
that was Matt, the singer. He was an Army Ranger. Pretty sure he's deployed to Iraq. So, and I mean, if you read some of his stuff or, you know, pay attention, it's like you can pull that out of it. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But now it's like if you, I just feel like that type of thing, you kind of get labeled as like if you're glorifying it, you're just, they try to make it political or whatever, but it's really not.
I just, like bands like Tsunami, Well, I just use those guys as an example because they're like super young and they talk about like kicking ass and like beating people down. But then it's like, are they joking? Because they're just so not threatening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I see that in a lot of the younger
watch
bands.
They're all like third degree, I mean, like trained black belts.
They sound like sheer terror, but they don't look like Paul Bear. You know what I'm saying?
I think that you get a lot of that. I feel like there's like even bands in Michigan that are like the whole tough guy thing. Like, I do this, I'll beat your ass. I got a gun and da da da. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, you're not gonna do anything.
Yeah, shut
you know
the
what
fuck
I mean?
Up, dude. Just play some breakdowns and dance, you know?
It's not like every death metal band out there is like trying to actually decapitate people or like George Corpse Grinders collecting fucking My Little Ponies and shit. Not,
that is true.
Not like tearing out insides.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I just feel it's just kind of, that's tiring.
Very,
like
very.
The beating people up thing.
Like I said, that's what like kind of struck me listening to it was that you were coming from a real place, you know, with your lyrics.
Yeah, that's what I meant to do. So I'm glad it translates to you that way.
So the song that has the coordinates, what are those coordinates actually like a place somewhere? I mean, I imagine they would be, but is it relevant to you or the album somehow?
Yeah, that's the coordinates to Fallujah, Iraq. That's where I was deployed to.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just like, I can name the song Fallujah, but I was just like.
I think the coordinates was cooler because there's songs out there named Fallujah. There's a band out there called Fallujah.
I feel dumb. I should have just looked it up.
I mean, yeah, I could have looked it up,
him
but
in, man. I
would have rather have heard it from the horse's mouth himself.
Yeah,
I feel you for sure. I figured if people wanted to know, like really wanted to know, they would fucking punch it in their Google or whatever.
Yeah. How long were you in Fallujah for?
From like late August of 06 to March of 07.
Okay.
So pretty much like, in that time, that's when like, Saddam was hung in Iraq. So like in that, if that takes you to like a memory back then of hearing that on the news or whatever, but
my old lady was pregnant
high school still.
and I was 22. So all I was thinking about was like, dude, oh shit, I'm going to be a dad at that time.
I feel you.
I was a few years away from being a dad at that point, but pretty damn close.
So what's the, so you got the two songs out. What's the future looking like now?
Yeah, like, we have our, like, we're going to start playing live, but obviously, like, these, the songs we do have are going to go, the new songs that aren't released are going to go on an EP. And then it's like one of those things where it's like, do you put, like, either of these first two songs on there? Which one? You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like whenever you re-record a song, it's not the same. You know what I mean?
No, for sure. I'll agree to that.
Like,
I can
like that like Hatebreed doing Smash Your Enemies, like the production's better, but like
it's way better on Under the Knife.
Yeah, like it's just I don't know if it's more raw or what, you know,
the
case is, but it's just maybe it's just the first time you hear something, you want to hear it that way forever. You know what I mean?
I think that has a lot to do with it because like, I'll use Acid Bath for an example. I heard the demos CD first before I heard the other albums, and I like those demo version songs more than I like the studio versions. Not that they're not good, but that's the way I heard them first and the way I enjoyed them first. So when I hear them, I'm like, oh, I want to hear it this way, not that way.
Yeah, no, I feel that 100%.
A lot of mad.
So,
everybody's mad ball, like, you can tell when they were like, you can tell what era they were like introduced to hardcore by like what Madball record they
Bell record
into.
Their
I
favorite
swear,
is.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's funny.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but those songs like we'll see I guess what happens and then I guess decide as a band and go from there, but we're shooting for five, so
I would leave them how they are. I mean, ultimately, it's you guys' choice, but, like, just from a listener standpoint, like, everybody,
like,
by the time that comes out, is going to have listened to this enough times to where if you change them, I mean, to me, there's nothing really wrong with them, so changing it or re-recording it might add a problem where there wasn't a problem.
Yeah, I feel that, too. Like, also, like, when you after you play songs live, like, for a little bit, you kind of like, dude, I should have done this, or I can do this, or
you have to always second guess yourself.
Yeah, so there's two sides to it. I get, like I said, I guess we'll see what happens and go from there. But yeah, I'm not like set either way on, you know, what will be on it. But I was thinking yesterday it would be dope to, you know, you have all the songs and then just you always hear like the, you know, the oh we just did this one in the studio last minute. You know what I mean? I think it would be dope just to be like, hey, let's get together for fucking 1 hour and try to put something together and go. You know what I mean? Just as a
That's a challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's cool. Totally do it. See what you can throw out in an hour. Record it no matter what.
Yeah, and fucking make it sick of it. Yeah, if it sucks, we suck, you know? But yeah. Oh.
You said that you guys have an upcoming show lined up.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be... we were putting one together... for the end of June, but like we had like a little bit of issues within the band as far as like being ready by that time, so we had to figure that out. And yeah, but we're gonna be playing July 6th with Doubt It, Lockdown, Dissected, Your Disease, Saboteur, that Straight Edge band From Here Persist,
yeah,
and a couple other bands at that Holland House. I don't know if you guys have heard of that Holland place yet House. Or not.
I haven't been there. I don't think I've even.
Yeah, I don't. I haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, apparently it's a like a soundproof garage made into like a venue kind of deal, which is pretty sick.
It is.
Yeah, like, and I'm thinking like for sure for like our first show and being in that type of environment will be, you know, a good way to be like, all right, we're fucking, we're ready to do it. You know what I mean?
Those are, I like little shows like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We played a show in Toledo, probably, I don't know, 2017 or 18 when I had this band, Bitter Peace, AD. And
I
was
that's
what
the one was.
We were trying to figure out your other band earlier, and I was like, I know it's an AD band, but I can't think of what the fuck it was.
Yeah, that was supposed to be like a Slayer band. I don't know if it really fucking turned out that way, but that was the idea. But we played like a house show down there. It was like fucking, dude, I don't know if anybody lived there, but it was a house.
Like straight up in the living room or just... fucking nuts.
Yeah, and it was dope because it was like, you know, you can only fit fucking 25 kids in this living room and people are just smashing each other. It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, some of those shows are the best shows though. Like I've heard stories about like when Hatebreed played this guy's basement, or All Out War played this dude's living room, or Blood for Blood played this dude's living room, and like
yeah that's sick. Like the smaller, like I feel like the smaller space the better, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. I mean the sound doesn't always resonate as well because you're just being deafened but the atmosphere makes up for it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm super pumped about that. So yeah, we're gonna be, yeah, I don't think we don't have anything else like booked yet. We got offered something in August, but I'll be on vacation, so yeah, we'll see, we'll go from there.
Well, and you got to work around everybody else's, touring.
Yeah,
bands.
You got, I think pretty much everybody in the band is a dad, so.
Yeah, that always besides comes my brother, with but its he's... own set of circumstances, too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fucking, so-and-so's got a baseball game. Oh, she's got dance, or, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like... yeah, or even, I mean, something comes up, like, day before, and you're like, fuck, this is an emergency. Like, I got to go do this. I can't go do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
that shit happens.
Yeah, and we've kind of like discussed like how are we gonna do this band? Like, is it gonna be like go, or is it gonna be, you know, selecting? And I think that that's kind of where we're at. It's like being selective with what we're playing, not to be assholes, but just to make it like work and to be like a band that like if you book us, you can count on us playing. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't think bands should also take every show offer that they get all the time either. Like,
I agree.
You have to know kind of, like, just because somebody's asking you to play doesn't mean that the show's going to be good for you or that it's going to be a good show in general. Like, you know, I get the excitement. I get the, like, wanting to go out there, play, get your music out there. Like, I get that side of it. But, I mean, it's not always the right move.
And you're not 18 years old. You know?
That too.
For sure. Yeah, it's like, imagine, you know, driving fucking 2 or 3 hours and playing to fucking 10 kids.
Yeah.
Which, you know what I mean?
You're like, shit, not dude, that, not that those 10 kids. Home.
Yeah. Like, how was it? Oh, great. really glad that I did that.
I knew the whole show on a first name basis by the end of it.
Yeah. And I mean, for sure, the people that show up, that's fucking sick that they did come, you know, but. Yeah, I think I've been in both situations, you know, opposite sides.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it could work out for the better. Like, you never know. There's always two sides to a coin, but, like, I would say good advice for anybody in any type of thing creative-wise, like, you don't always have to say yes to everything. Like, podcasters don't always have to interview somebody reaching out to you. Like, bands don't always have to play a show.
Yeah, for sure. It's your brand, and you're going to put it out the way you want to.
Yeah. I will say we have done some interviews that I was kind of, like, hesitant to do. But then, like, when you meet the people, you're, like, more of a fan of their music just because they were cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I noticed that a lot, too.
Yeah, I feel that. I listened to that Crossfire one, and I had no idea who they were, and I was like, oh, sick. Like,
yeah, those dudes are cool.
Yeah, they were cool. Yeah. Jeremy brought them to my attention. I believe.
Yeah, yeah. There's like, you know, I got like people I talk to kind of like all over the Midwest, and there's like all these scenes popping up, dude. So there's just like a lot of bands to sift through, and Crossfire is pretty fucking good. I like them.
Yeah, I like them. And I'm like, Jeremy's more well-versed in hardcore than I am. Like, I'm a fan, but I'm not as much of a follower, I guess I should say. Like,
yeah.
It takes more for a band to me to be like, okay, I really like this, and I'm going to listen to it repeatedly. Like, there are times when I hear shit that I'm like, oh, this just sounds like that, or this just sounds like that. Or there's times where I hear it, and I'm like, I don't know, I got to go back and listen to it. Go back, and I either love it, or it just doesn't do it for me. And that's nothing against any of the bands or anything. It's just, I guess I dabble in other shit primarily.
I do that with metal, though, too. You know what I mean?
So, it's kind of... You're like the reverse of that with me, but like I do it with hip hop, I do it with metal. It happens, but
yeah, like I feel the same. Like I'm not like into too many bands, but I can like appreciate what they're doing. I'm like, they're fucking sick at what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Right. It's kind of like when a movie, like you're like, ah, it wasn't bad, but I don't know that I'd repeatedly watch it. Like, it's not gonna be one of my like, I'm going to watch this once a year for the rest of my life movies or something. You know, it's not Ghostbusters or whatever.
For sure. And like, even when I listen to your guys' podcast, I'm like, you guys know way fucking more than I do, way deeper than I do. You know what I mean? Like I've listened to, I feel like once I found Hatebreed, I listened to them for like 15 years, and like everything else that came out, I'm like, not as good. Not as sick.
Yeah, dude.
But I mean, I have my other favorite bands and stuff like that, like, you know, and obviously not every Hatebreed record, you know, hits the way the first couple do, you know, so.
Yeah, I have a band out there. This is unrelated to like your band, but I'm pretty sure it was you. Like, you're still an active Metallica fan, yes?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
So like, what
dude,
do you...
I listen to... Dude, I cook dinner listening to Load.
Okay, well, that was going to be my... What do you think of, like, their newer record? Did you like it or no?
To be honest, I've never put it on. My daughter is 5 years old, and I took her to the concert last year. And then I've been taking her to the record store, her and my son, and like, let them pick out stuff. And she's like, I want the one where I have the guitar picks for, which is the 72 seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
And I came home the other night. I went to that 200 Stab Wounds Dying Fetus show, and she goes, I listened to the new Metallica album. I'm like, how did you like it? And she goes, it was really good. But honestly, I haven't listened to it beyond what was like maybe one song on the radio or whatever. So I can't give you an honest opinion and tell you, but
when you
I'm sure
live,
it's not
did
as good
they...
as Load.
Did they still play older stuff or was it like primarily new stuff? Because I remember that like they did like, wasn't it like two or three shows in Detroit like consecutively?
They did. Yeah, they did two. They did a Friday and a Sunday. Friday they played with Pantera and then that's neither right. of the sets, they didn't repeat a song. Which my,
okay, that's
the
cool.
way I got my daughter into Metallica is I have this like project truck, like a, I have an 86 C10 and it only has a tape player in it. And the only tape I have is Ride the Lightning. So
fuck yeah, dude.
She quickly, like For Whom the Bell Tolls is like, was like her favorite. Now she's like Fight Fire with Fire, Trapped Under Ice, you know, like, so thank God that that worked the way it did. But yeah, they didn't play. They played when the night she went was the second night. And they played Fight Fire with Fire, For Whom the Bell Tolls. And I want to say Ride the Lightning.
Right on.
And I was like, fuck yes. Like, you know.
Yeah, she got to but hear her favorite songs and shit.
Her, yeah, and I was like praying like Friday night when I went with my brother. I was like, please don't play that song. Like, ugh. Or those two. You know what I mean?
So you went to the first one with Pantera?
Yeah, yeah.
How was Pantera? Night, yeah. I'm curious.
Well, I don't know how you guys feel about Pantera, but I fucking love them. So,
yeah, I think like I can appreciate anybody... them to a certain degree, but I'm just not like a huge fan of them.
Well, I
get it.
They just think
so
it's
burnt
kind of like
out
a...
to me here because like every like obnoxious drunk guy at a party would somehow, some way in the middle of the night put on Walk and then be like,
oh, it's fucking age.
Stomping around and like. Throwing shit, and you're just like, when's this guy leaving? Like,
yeah,
get the fuck
mad
out of here.
Drunk fucking, yeah.
And I guess I always associate that with that. And it's probably that guy, you know, that particular person's fault. But, like, I don't know. When I tried to listen to him, I'm like, because it had been years, and I actually, like, maybe last summer was like, I'm going to listen to Cowboys from Hell and see. I turned it on like, my ride home. And I had to roll my windows up because I was like, man, I hope nobody hears me listening to this shit. Like,
what the fuck?
I was like, I just can't do this anymore. Like,
I'll crank Cemetery Gates once in a while.
I can't
do
it, man. And then,
yeah, I'm fucking all in, dude.
But
I got a Cowboys from Hell tattoo. I'm ready to fucking, you know, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm all in, like I said. Like,
so they were still good live, though? Isn't it? It's just Phil and Rex, isn't it?
Correct.
Like,
that's why I wonder.
Who's like playing guitar?
And I mean, if you could pick
drumming.
Anybody,
Zach Wild.
Anybody to play guitar besides Dimebag, it would be fucking Zach Wilde.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not that they have like similar styles, but I guess they're close enough.
And they were homeboys, weren't they?
Yeah. Dude, I'm obsessed with pinch harmonics. Like, I fucking love them, dude. And he just rips them wherever. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's got like fucking the biggest hands ever.
Yeah, and I said, I mean, it's fucking, it's not Pantera, but it's fucking closest thing we're going to get. So I'll just appreciate that for what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, just those two names alone, like, that's going to sell out arenas no matter what. Like, you could have no original members in either band, and people are still going to go to it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I thought they sounded good. I mean, I wanted to go to when they played Grand Rapids in February, but I didn't, so kind of bumped. You know, looking back, I'm like, fuck, I should have just made that drive.
You know how many times I think that?
Dude, you know, I think...
Coulda, woulda.
I never considered anyone driving from north of Saginaw to come to shows down here.
Yeah.
Like, those dudes, like...
I just drove to Detroit and back yesterday.
That's fucking brutal. Dude. I drove to we were up in Traverse City like 2 weeks ago for the kids, and even that drive home I'm like, my fucking god, like,
yeah, no, it is a,
you
it
guys
is
doing
a
it for
wonder.
A show is like a vacation, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah,
doing it for Tide Down.
Yeah, and I heard you guys talking about that. Are you guys going to be there for how long? Are you going to be there for?
I'll be there on Saturday as far as I know. I don't know that I'm gonna go both days yet.
Yeah, I bought my like single day ticket for Saturday, so I'll be there Saturday. I'll see you guys there.
Jeremy's awesome. In the balcony. He's got the bougie seats.
Yeah.
I didn't upgrade.
I ordered my shit before there was even you got like yours a lineup.
Like a while ago. I just...
I missed last year.
I was like, man, I'm not going to upgrade to balcony just for one day. Like, it's like $70 more or whatever. Like, I'll just chill on the ground. I don't care.
Yeah. And I heard you guys talking to Ramona about that, like, podcast thing being like as far as like a press and maybe getting
I didn't know if we could do that. That's why I asked, like, because I was like, I was under the impression, I'm like, well, maybe shit, like, I see photographers go back as press and stuff, like, can podcasters do that, or do they have to be podcasting like on site?
Which I mean would be kind of sick if you guys could pull that off.
Yeah, we could do it.
I would say, who knows what they'll say, but, like, I always tell my kids, make them tell you no. You know what I'm saying?
So, oh, for sure. Like,
reach out and see what Jimmy or Curtis says and go from there. Because, yeah, that'd be fucking sick.
Yeah, I mean, you never know, like, what somebody will say until they say no. Like, the worst thing, I always say the worst thing somebody can say is no. Like, otherwise, like, you don't know until you fucking try.
Yeah, exactly. So... hopefully you guys are both on the balcony then.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, Jeremy will be up there.
Or
yeah, I'll be standing in the back. Or on the side, like off to the...
I'm not a mosher. Like, I never really have been. I don't like getting pushed around and hit because I got short patience. So I know that about myself and respect everybody else and myself enough to be like, well, I'm just going to hang out back here and not get into anything.
Yeah, I've always been like the out of the way guy, just nodding my head in the back or on the side, you know, just chilling.
Now I'm completely opposite, man. I fucking hear that shit and I just start moving. And now I have, that's like another reason I got a balcony. So I'm kind of like, I trap myself up there so I don't do anything stupid.
Watch. Did you get knocked out at that Cold as Life show?
Yeah. What's up?
Did you get knocked out at the Cold as Life show?
Yeah, dude. I got slumped.
Oh, fuck. I saw a few guys get pulled out. I'm like, God damn.
But, dude, it was fucking, it was worth every fucking, it was worth it.
You probably seen Jeremy get pulled out because you got, like, escorted out, so.
Oh, I was standing on the side, so they were pulling everybody to the side, kind of towards the merch.
There
so
was, like, two dudes, like, helping him walk away and, like, make sure he was all good and shit.
Yeah, so I was looking around, like, what's up? And then I went to the back. Then they're like, dude, you got to go to the hospital. And I didn't want to, man. They're like, your nose is broken. I'm like, fuck, dude, it's all good. Then they showed me. And I was like, oh, fuck, dude, my old lady is going to be pissed. But it all worked out.
Yeah, that's oof. That's why I said the fuck front out of tooth. The way,
I forgot about that. That got all chipped up the fuck. Yeah, dude.
Oh, you chipped a tooth too? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this was all fucked up. But I got like a kick-ass dentist. I know he's not listening to the podcast, but like, he's the shit. Anyway.
Yeah, that's, you don't want to have that fucking Dumb and Dumber chip in the front. No, dude. That's
I did have that. Jim Carrey's, yep.
Yeah.
That's fun trivia fact. That was his real chip.
Was it? I always thought it was like a raisin or something put on there.
That was his real chip. So that's why they left. He broke off the fucking piece, you know, because he's like, this is going to be way fucking funnier.
Oh, yeah.
He broke it off for the movie?
Like, it was already chipped.
Oh, and then he just broke it more.
He took the piece out. Which,
talk about committing to your fucking role.
Yep.
Yeah. That's, to me, one of the best movies ever.
Oh, yeah. I watched that. That's a movie that would have been good as a reference point of what I was talking to earlier when I said Ghostbusters. Like, Dumb and Dumber would be another one. You can repeat watch that thing all the time just because it's always funny, like, even though you know the jokes.
And I'm just thinking about when they're on the moped and he's like, just go. Yeah, he's like, just go, man. Stupid
I expected shit. The Rocky Mountains to be a little more rocky than this.
Yeah, there's so much funny shit in that movie, dude. Holy fuck.
He's like, where are you heading? Yeah. He's like, Aspen, California. Beautiful.
Oh, shit.
But so back to the music, because we'll go on movies for a while. I meant to ask earlier while we were talking about it, but we got sidetracked. Who did the artwork for the record?
This guy, for the Tremor. Singles,
I mean.
Yeah, Tremor. He's, I want to say he's in Indonesia, dude. I think it's Indonesia. He's done stuff for like a few of the bands I've been in. So I just reached out to him and was like, this is what I'm thinking, dude. And he nailed it.
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
No, I like it. I think it would make a good t-shirt. It reminds me of like a, I always think like Full Metal Jacket when I see that, just anything like that, the army helmet, the gun, the writing on the helmet, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
So it reminded me a lot of that. But like, I'm a big fan of war movies and stuff. So just the lore of the songs was intriguing to me.
That's dope.
As far as going to war, I did not do that.
Hearing about it's sick, though.
Yeah, that's it. Kudos to everybody and anybody that's been there and done that, including yourself, because I don't know that I could have made it.
I mean, you don't know until you're there.
Right.
You know, either way.
It's fight or flight at that point. But
Yeah.
We appreciate what you've done, you know, done for us, man, our country.
Yeah, dude. It's like so weird when people like say that to me. I just feel like anybody I've talked to about it, like, I like knows, like, I joined because I was skateboarding too much and I was like fucking skipping my college class. So I was like, how can I get more
structure and shit?
How can I get some more discipline? Like, what's the hardest boot camp? You know, I'll go do that stuff and then I'll come back to college and I'll be good then.
Right.
But, So I joined the Marines and because I was fucking skateboarding too much, and I feel like I'm the same dude. Now I'm just, you know, have kids and pay bills in a more timely manner.
So you got out of it that you can pay your bills on time, and
I mean, I appreciate every experience I got, you know, through that whole thing, but it didn't do what I thought it was going to do. You know what I mean? And I didn't know I was going to go through what I went through. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
I think are the way they are no matter what. Like, you're still going to be that really skateboarding kid no matter what, to some degree.
Yeah.
You're just going to go to bed at a more reasonable time and, you know, shit like that. Like, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Madsen, Jeremy.
So yeah.
He commented on something the other day and was like, punk rock doesn't die. It just goes to bed at an earlier time or a more reasonable time or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. Because, like, dude, I feel like I'm, like, immature as far as the way I act and the things I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll tell you something. I mean, what's life if you can't laugh and have fun and shit? Like, what's the point in being all serious and taking everything, like, way too intensely? Like, I don't know. You need to laugh, have fun, and enjoy your time while you're here.
My son dresses more mature than I do. Like, straight up.
Yeah.
He told his grandma, my mom, like, no, I'm not going to get tattoos, and I'm not going to dress like my daddy. Look at it, he's fucking goofy as shit. I'm just like, really, dude? You know? But it's kind of like you said, it's like, I like wearing my DC shoes and my fucking cargo shorts and my American Nightmare hoodie. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I feel you, dude. I dress like, I wear running shorts and fucking band t-shirts. And
it's all you need.
You know? Yeah, dude. I just want to relax.
You're a shoe guy too, from what I remember, right?
Yeah. I do collect them a little bit. Yeah.
I just know because, like, we've had each other on Instagram over the course of however long, just by association of other people.
Yep.
And I remember seeing like, oh, this dude's into shoes and shit.
My closet. Yeah. I took that project on and I was like, this will be sick. I see these ones like on Instagram where people who have like a lot more money than me do these closets, but if you're on my page and you look at that, it looks pretty sick.
Yeah, that's an expensive hobby. Like,
I was gonna say, man, kids are getting up there.
Fuck yeah, if you're a record collector, that's already an expensive hobby, but if you like shoes and like clothes and shit like that, like, you need to make some money. Like, I like all of those things, and like, I'm not rich by any means. Like, I'm able to survive and do what I want to when I want to, within reason for the most part.
For sure, same.
But fuck, that shit adds up, man. And now, like, my kid's getting into that stuff, and I'm like, fuck, dude, we don't have enough money to go around to support both of these habits. Like,
get a job.
You need to get a job.
Support your own habit.
Yeah. I get, like, stuck on things, like, for periods of time, and I'll just go all in with it, and then I'm just like, whatever. So,
I still got that.
I don't think this is a question I've ever gotten to ask on the show, but like, what is one of your favorite styles of shoes?
My favorite shoe is the Jordan 13. It's like black, red, and white.
Black, yeah, the black, red, and white ones.
So, I mean, in general, like not the look of the 13 is like my favorite, but
just the colorway for that particular.
Yeah, when I lived in Flint, I was sitting in class, and the kid in front of me, fucking every time the new Jordan came out, he had them. You know what I mean? Or a different colorway, and I was like looking at those shoes, and I'm like, one day I'm gonna have those shoes, and now I have them like sitting behind me on a shelf in a case, like my girl bought them for me. So,
awesome.
Yeah, dude, that's like my favorite shoe. I'll send you guys a picture of them after, and they're in this like dope case that one of my favorite boxers is like a shoe guy too. So,
who's your favorite boxer?
Well, one of them, Caleb Plant.
Okay.
Yeah, he lost to Canelo and David Benavidez his last two fights, yeah. But still my guy.
That's right. Is that Rocky, they call him? No, I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of another guy.
No, I don't know. His nickname's Sweet Hands.
Yo, Adrian.
No, it's a different, it was a, the guy's name, the guy's first name. He's not Plant, though. And he lost to Canelo. But,
Oh, Rocky Fielding.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. That was like a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, I think that was maybe like his first his own fight.
Yeah, you signed that big ass contract and then I went bankrupt.
Yeah. Did you happen to see, since we're on a small subject of boxing and Canelo, did you see the press conference with Oscar De La Hoya and they were like talking shit back and forth to each other?
Yeah, I follow all those like boxing media pages. So
that shit was funny.
It's not really on. I stayed up to press conferences go though.
But he was like, Oscar De La Hoya is like, he needs to learn some fucking respect or like some shit like that. And then Canelo's like sitting down there, and he's saying whatever in Spanish, and there's the interpreter. And then the interpreter kind of like paused and he's like, I call him fucking pussy, you know? Like, it was so funny, dude.
Yeah, he's actually, since he's like started to speak English more in his interviews, is so funny.
Yeah, dude. It's like Khabib Nurmagomedov when he talked. It didn't matter what he said. It was just like, what the fuck, you know? From the UFC.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
There's a UFC fighter like that too, that Moicano.
Yep.
Where it's like he speaks like broken English, but it's so fucking funny when he can talk shit well in English, but he's like, it's
he's
obviously
like,
broken.
He's always like, motherfucker, motherfucker, all that and shit. Yeah. So funny. Did you watch Derek Lewis fight last weekend?
No, I didn't. I missed it. I think I was watching the Supercross or something.
It was
I don't
a
know
good
what the
fight.
Hell I was doing. But yeah, I know he knocked the dude out, and that like he's always fun to watch.
Yeah, he was like, I can't get knocked out by no taxi driver from Barcelona or wherever, you know. So funny, dude.
Yeah, he's funny as hell.
What do you think about the Tyson and Jake Paul fight? Do you think that's like an actual fight, or is it just kind of staged?
I have no fucking idea. But I think the cool thing is that they're going to make a lot of money.
Fuck
you know
they
what I mean?
Are.
Oh, yeah.
But as
no
far
matter
as
what,
like,
just you could put the name Mike Tyson on anything, chicken nuggets, and it'd fucking sell. Actually, Tyson is on chicken nuggets, and they do sell.
That is true.
I didn't even intentionally do that.
You're good.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like who wins, I mean, I would not be surprised either way. Is probably as dumb as I sound saying that. That, like, obviously, Tyson's got all that, you know, experience, got all the power, and all, the power's the last thing to go.
All the Tyson.
But I know that Jake trains with, like, world championship boxers, and he's young.
Yeah.
He takes it serious.
Yeah, exactly. People weren't taking him seriously, and he was taking that shit serious back when he started.
So, I mean,
I'll be honest, I didn't take him seriously at all, because, like, I learned about who they were from, like, my kid watching them on YouTube. And I'm like, so this kid's a boxer now? Like,
same
just
thing
out
with
of the
me.
Blue? Like, and he was just fighting like older people that were like either retired or out of their prime or whatever. But I will say, like, hats off to his business strategy, because like that dude has made a name for himself.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people trash him, but like they're talking about him.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like I said, dude, good for them. I can't really fucking talk shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I'm not in
say,
there
like,
facing fucking Mike Tyson, so more power to you, dude.
You'd have to be paying me Well, pretty much just as much as Jake Paul's getting paid to do it.
I don't blame you.
I'd be in there like, all right, Mike, give me one square one to the face. Let me cash this check. Nice to meet you. I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Just remember, it's the one you don't see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brutal. Luck, I'd be seeing all of them. I'd wait for every punch.
You'd be the first guy to say, it's the one you see.
Yeah, it's the one you see.
But yeah.
But anyways, man, like I said, we get on a lot of random tangents here. But
that's cool.
We pretty much wrapped up all the stuff musically that I really wanted to get to. Like, definitely looking forward for the rest of the songs to come out, for like a full EP to be released, and hopefully to like catch you guys at a show too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, dude. It's funny, like, as far as like hearing that you guys seem like you're into it, like with your guys, like how in depth your musical taste and knowledge is, you know what I mean? So I think that's pretty cool. So I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Oftentimes I think I'm like, oh, we're just professional appreciators, really. Like, there's like anybody
could
do that.
I actually have a guitar question. What kind of rig did you use?
He used a vocal rig.
What, record with?
Yeah, like what I had, like head.
Mike's got, I want to say, dude, he knows. I don't know. It's like I don't know if it's the quad cortex or one of those ones where you can fucking, like, oh, I want a Mesa Boogie with this or that.
Okay.
And it's like not a cheap thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those ones that, like, now the bigger bands are using live. I know he spent some serious money on it, but then I have like a Urban Camo ESP Viper that I still have, that's what I used
for live.
Yeah. And then he's got like for when I went to go record the guitar. And then he has like a, I don't know if it's a ESP Horizon or whatever that body style is, but yeah, he had the EMGs in his, and this, my ESP has the Seymour Duncan Blackouts. So
not sure
if you wanted to know that much.
Passive but. Pickup?
No, nope.
Or they're
nope.
Both. They're both.
Both active. Yeah.
Oh shit, that's cool though.
Yeah, dude, I fucking still love my guitar. Like, it's like my favorite guitar ever.
Yeah, man. When you find that one, never get rid of it.
Yeah, it's sitting right here.
It's in the case next to his Jordan 13s.
Yep.
Pretty close. They're about 6 feet apart.
That's awesome.
So yeah, but yeah, like we were like messing with the tones, and Mike is in Bad Beat. He's in that God Body.
Bad Beat's fucking dope too.
Yeah. He's in Cleanse. He was in a bunch of bands back in the day too. Like, I feel like that dude could write in any style and put out a demo, and people were like, this is fucking sick. So it was cool to sit down there and work with him and on these and pick out the tones and put the riffs together. And yeah.
Yeah, there are those people out there that can kind of just put on any hat and make it work for them.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Prince.
Yeah, Prince.
Like, this shit's so, it's so, blows me away that, like, when, you know, people can do that.
Or, like, more modernly, Masego, because he's kind of like a young Prince to me. Yeah. I mean, he plays, like, 20 instruments or something like that, and plays them well, too.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
He's, like, a newer, he's like from Jamaica, but he mixes like dancehall with like hip hop with like jazz, and it's a really cool blend of stuff.
Huh. You have to send that to me, like at least the spelling to me, that way I can check it out.
Yeah, well, he was one of those guys that kind of like went viral on YouTube, and then I found the video like years ago, and you listened to him, and then now he's actually like pretty big. Like, he's signed to Capitol Records and like was featured on like Apple Music's like Spatial Audio shit, and like, I don't know, it's cool to see him go from just doing random like live looping videos on YouTube to like selling out like stadiums and stuff.
Yeah, that is sick for sure.
But he even has a song called I Do Everything where he just brags about how he plays this instrument, but in a good way. Like, it's funny, and it's but it's actually like a good song.
That's sick. Yeah, I'll for sure check that out then.
Yeah, I'll message it to you after I get done with this. I'll do it in a minute, so that way I don't forget.
Good to go.
I'll even send you some stuff of his. But before we...
Yeah, if it's not... Sorry, if it's not Creed for your...
It's not Creed.
Who is it?
Well, I would say like the one that's been the same for a long time is Maroon 5.
Oh, that is fucking brutal.
Damn, I did not
see that.
I expected
coming.
That one less than Creed, but yeah.
Dude, I fucking love that band. Awesome. And
so recently, Adam from Maroon 5, didn't he do that My Heart's a Stereo song with Gym Class Heroes, or was that a different guy?
I'm not sure on releases.
I have no idea.
I'm pretty positive it is, but I will say I love that song.
Yeah. I mean, dude, yeah, they're sick. And then my son, he likes Olivia Rodrigo and all that shit. And then I took him to Toronto to see her, and I can sit and like listen to that and be like, oh, this is catchy. This is tight. Right. So probably those two, I would say, like, where I'm like, oh, I'm into this, but probably not everybody that I know would be like, oh yeah, that's what he jams.
or at least they won't openly admit that they listen to it. But
yeah.
Yeah, like the whole walk by, yeah, he doesn't listen to Maroon 5, but in reality, yeah, you're just fucking ripping that shit in your head.
Yeah. Songs about Jane, dude.
There you go.
Yeah, I have heard the album.
Yeah. Yeah. Ever since they came out, I'm like, dude, this is sick. But
He kind of got like big too for a minute there. I feel like he like sort of fell off a little at this point, but it's just I don't know that fell off was the right word, because I'm sure Maroon 5's still selling huge, but there's just so much there that like it seems like he fell off because there's just
a new superstar
every single day type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They're sick. I fucking am not afraid to say it.
Yeah, Creed, Maroon 5, and Olivia Rodrigo. That might be one of the most interesting combinations that we've gotten so far.
I do think.
Yeah.
Well, I know I sell a shitload of Olivia's records, I will say that. And I have heard a handful of her stuff. I see and hear the appeal there. I just don't like really listen to it that much. But I will say, like, in your case, if I had a kid that was into it, I would say, yeah, I'd be into it, too.
Yeah, they're also into Taylor Swift, but I like Olivia Rodrigo way more than Taylor Swift. So, as far as me sitting in, like, and it being on in the house.
If I had to pick between the two, I'd go with Olivia.
Yeah, I don't think I could. Yeah. I could let Swift play just because of, like, her binding up all the records and, like,
it's not only that.
I don't know, man.
I just don't really care for her voice. Outside of, you know, good for her for becoming the next biggest thing in the world.
And I think she at least has a hand in everything that she writes. So
yeah, and that's cool. And I think like her idea of remastering her albums and putting them out as her versions was genius.
Yeah, that's fucking.
Yeah, I don't know who. Yeah, whoever came up with that definitely is. I don't know if that was her or somebody.
Snoop Dogg said that shit years ago.
What's that?
That you can, after 7 years, you can remaster your record if you can't obtain the licensing rights and release it as your own. Snoop Dogg said that in an interview.
Yeah, but she straight re-recorded everything.
Mm-hmm. That's what he was talking about.
But you could do that immediately. Not your music.
No, not within 7 years.
I don't think so. Like, I think like when... Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
So it's 7 years.
I think we did like a eulogy thing, and I think it was something in there about that. Like they own it for 5 or 7 years or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know why that's. I don't know why 7 years
standard.
Is the standard, but to the best of my knowledge, that's what it is. But if you're tied into a contract, you can't remaster or record until that statute is up.
Yeah.
But then once it is. You could re-record or remaster and release it as your version and own the licensing rights to that version. However, the company can still re-release your old stuff that they own as their version.
Yeah. That I knew.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty sick move, though. So I support it. I try to find the good in it, you know what I mean? Because I'm fucking going to listen to it either way.
Right. My only gripe with her is... anytime she releases a record, it ties up like 5 to 7 other bands that are coming out that week. Like, I watched her delay the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, and I was like, God damn, that is huge.
Yeah, that is huge. And I don't mind her delaying either of them.
No, I mean, like, I wasn't mad, but I had customers that were like, hey, this fucking Now and Then single was supposed to come out. I'm like, well, you know that that's like an AI single, right? Like, Jesus. Most of you guys are against that to begin with.
It's
the Beatles.
Fucking crazy.
You guys having, you have a business. So, I mean, it for sure definitely makes more sense for you guys to care more.
Yeah, that's my only gripe. Outside of that, kudos to her for doing what she's doing. Respect to her for becoming the next Michael Jackson. And
pretty much,
as far as popularity goes, like, I mean, she's out there.
Yeah, it's insane. I'm fucking sick of buying the merch.
Yeah, it's a little more expensive than...
Dude, how the fuck are you putting out $80 hoodies?
Yeah, that's crazy. Well,
that and like $50 records that you need four variants of to make a clock or whatever, like the cool collectible might be for that. But like, come on, like,
the random, if you're gonna do that, old guy that wants six copies of the fucking Record Store Day single.
Yeah, we got this random old dude. I doubt he listens to this, so there's this old dude customer that drives up here from Ohio for like every Taylor Swift Record Store Day release, because I guess where he's at, it's harder to get. I'm guessing he's in like a bigger city or something, but I'm like, damn, dude, like, you pass like hundreds of stores on your way here. Like, I'm sure you could fucking park out somewhere overnight and like get it without driving like 8 hours.
And, sick that he comes to support you guys. That's badass.
Yeah, but he's almost like kind of weird. Like, he comes in like he's always wearing a Taylor Swift shirt. He's the first one in line. He wants to buy every copy, which you're on Record Store Day, you're only allowed to buy one. And he's just, I don't know, it's strange. Like, and then I asked him, I'm like, do you have like a daughter or something like that's collecting this? A granddaughter? He's like, nope. I buy them all. I frame one copy and I listen to the other ones. And I was like, wow, that's... You're the only 60-year-old man that I've ever met like that, because a lot of them are like still into Rat and L.A. Guns and shit and talking about that one time that they seen fucking Steven Piercy.
Motley Crue and shit.
Yeah. So it was just, it's strange to see that, because a lot of that era of people are like, oh, they don't make music like they used to, and they're still listening to Led Zeppelin 3 and 4 on repeat.
Yeah.
But anyways, man.
Yeah, we could be talking forever.
On that note of Taylor Swift.
Before we sign off here, anything you want to say, add, get off your chest, etc.?
Not really. I mean, if people are listening that haven't checked it out, go check it out. Shoot us a message. Let us know what you think of it, good or bad. And come to a show.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all I got to say.
We'll have all the links to... What do you guys have an Escalation of Force Instagram? You do, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
We'll have links to that in the episode description, and then, you know.
The songs are on all the streaming platforms. I think it's like YouTube, fucking Amazon, Apple, Spotify, whatever.
I was pretty sure you had an Instagram, but I was like, fuck, I don't remember.
Yeah, we do.
Well, I appreciate you jumping on, man, and getting it.
No, I appreciate you guys giving me the time to talk about the band.
Absolutely. It was cool to talk to you, cool to get to know you a little more and hear about the band and et cetera. And like I said, we look forward to hearing more.
And we'll probably see you in 2-3 weeks.
2-3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, I'll make it a point to fucking message you guys. Maybe get a phone number instead of a direct message.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, dude, be safe. And hopefully sometime soon I can come up and check out your shop.
Yeah, if you're ever heading up to Alpena, just shoot one of us a message ahead of time. Like, I'm usually most days.
Sick. I got a family in Hillman, so.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, that's right.
That is not too far away.
No, it's not. 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
10 miles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure. I appreciate you guys again, and thanks for the time. And I'll see you guys on June 1st.
Cool.
Yes, sir. All right, thanks, man.
You have a good one.
Oh, yeah, guys. Take it easy.
Later.
See you.